Hi, it's Mike Church, founder of the Veritas Radio Network and the Crusade Channel. Maybe you didn't know this, so let me clue you in. We are a listener-owned radio enterprise, meaning we're the little guy, the underdog, a David in a stadium full of fake news Goliaths. So, in exchange for your listening to this awesome preview of one of our shows, Puddle's Pity Party, promise me you'll download our free app and use it to listen to that show when it's live. And number two, consider joining us and becoming a paying Founders Pass member by going to crusadechannel.com and clicking the join button at the top of any page. Now that's not asking too much, is it? So go ahead, relax, and enjoy the following feast of original programming exclusively here on the Crusade Channel. King Size Truth from Radio Size Speakers. Chris is on the SkyMaker hotline with us. The special occasion today actually is of note, don't you think? 100 years ago today, three little children in Fatima, Portugal, were visited by the Holy Mother of God, Our Lady. And she told them that, among other things that she told them that in 1 month she would come back, and to make people believe that she really did appear, she would perform a miracle. What can you tell us about the fifth apparition at Fatima?
Well, there was a promise of a miracle because skeptics were saying these children were deceiving the masses. It was all a hoax. And many of the faithful even had trouble accepting the reality that the Blessed Virgin was appearing to these three shepherd children. So a miracle was promised for October 13, 1917, at 12 noon solar time. And this has no precedent in the history of miracles. At any time in salvation history, we have never seen a miracle announced in advance. Come back here a month from today at 12 noon and you will see a stupendous miracle. That's never happened before, which is some indication of the importance of the message of Fatima in the life of the church and for the world at large.
Right.
And the article is well documented. The New York Times reported on it. Newspapers around the world reported on it. The local reporters who were skeptical and came to mock the apparitions and to see the non-occurrence of the miracle were stunned to see that something miraculous had indeed happened. Even the local secular newspaper, O Secolo, had to admit that something extraordinary had been witnessed by everyone, believers and non-believers alike, and that was, of course, the miracle of the sun.
And when you see photographs, and there are lots of photographs that were taken, now you have to remember in 1917, the Instamatic camera, the Polaroid Instamatic, hadn't been invented. There weren't disposable cameras. There weren't digital cameras. If you were going to take a photograph in 1917, through an SLR camera, you'd probably have to drag a tripod out with a fairly large a box on it, and you would probably only be able to take one plate at a time. And you've seen these in the movies where, you know, the guy gets underneath the hood and he throws the hood over his head, and he focuses the camera, then he hits the bulb that detonates the spark that makes the flash and all that. What you're seeing there, though, is interesting and is informative about the photographs that were taken on October the 13th, 1917. And that is that they did bring tripods out there, and they did bring cameras out there, and they did take photographs. And the amazing thing about the photographs, especially the ones that were taken for those that had the presence of mind to snap a photograph during the actual miracle, is as far as you can see, Chris Ferrara, everyone in the view of the camera is doing what? They're looking up at the noon sky.
Right.
Looking
directly
up
at the sun, by the way, because part of the phenomenon that we call the miracle of the sun, except the sun took on an appearance of a silvery disc, and you could look directly at it without hurting your eyes. Basically a kind of eclipse, except that the sun remained visible as the sun, but became to the visual perception a flat silvery disc that could be looked upon without injury to the eyes.
Right.
And then, of course, we know what the people saw was that the sun began to spin about and move around in the sky and change colors and color the landscape accordingly. And then all of a sudden, the sun plunged toward the earth as if it were going to impact the earth. And people were obviously driven to their knees in fear and desperation, many of them converting on the spot. There were also miraculous conversions on the spot. And another amazing aspect of it is that it had been raining that day. The entire field was a mud bowl, and people were drenched to the skin in their clothing. After this event was over, everything was dry as if there had been no rain that day. So the amount of solar energy involved in that was amazing. It should have incinerated everything in its path, and yet no one was harmed in the least. It was as if, as one observer put it today, a current observer, Our Lady very tenderly dry cleaned everyone, cleaned all their clothes and pressed them, and dried up the field as well so that they could go home in the condition in which they had set out to see the apparition. Very considerate of her.
Andrew Buzad, who is a writer at Shoebot, S-H-O-E-B-A-T, Shoebot.com, and also the author of, help me out here.
Lions of the Faith. Heroes of the Catholic Faith in a Struggle with Islam.
Right, and you can get that book as a digital download in the Kindle store at Amazon.com. I wanted to get some of the particulars here, though, about the venereal diseases and the threat that they pose. Now that children are being instructed that they need to go out and they need to start engaging, it used to just be, let's put some condoms on cucumbers and carrots and let's give them sex ed. Now let's give them sex ed and let's give them sodomy sex ed and let's give them sodomy sex ed and then change your gender sodomy sex ed and let's give it to them when they're 5 years old. Only demons could be responsible for this. But there's also a threat to health, isn't there?
Absolutely. Well, what's happened is we've been documenting this at Shiba.com. We have seen a progressive increase in marketing homosexual activity to teenagers. I cited the link in my article about the LGBT being complicit in the spread of horrible disease. There was a piece I wrote. It was an article that came out in Teen Vogue. It made some headlines, and if you haven't read it, I suggest that you stomach it and just read the article, because it says, talks about how sodomy is good for teenagers and you should try it. And if you make contact with fecal matter, that's a normal and good thing, and you should be fine with it because, well, having sex with poop is normal. I kid you not. You can find this.
Yeah.
And it's something, as we've noted too, that the LGBT groups even admit themselves that the spread of HIV and STDs was actually normalized in their own communities first, because as Dr. Stanley Monteith, author of AIDS, The Unnecessary Epidemic, pointed out, the transmission and spread of HIV and many of your mass-scale STDs began in homosexual groups, in their case specifically in San Francisco. As far as epidemics are concerned, though, that is just one part of it. We cited these statistics from the CDC on Shoebot.com, where you actually have, at a point where I think it's 1 in 10 men, they call them MSM, men who have sex with men.
Okay.
That's what the CDC calls it. But we're talking BAs or bisexual. There's a 1 in 10 chance you're going to get HIV or STD in about 10 years. And in certain parts of the country, that number goes up to 50%. Atlanta, Georgia, right now, if you are gay and if you're African-American, you basically are, it's a 50% HIV or not HIV, if I'm not mistaken from the statistic. You can look it up on CDC.com, but we've cited it.
And this just goes along with another article that you wrote, or this is a follow-up. When I was talking about, and you were writing about, Teen Vogue magazine that was promoting anal sex for 9, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-old girls. And one of the casualties of this is, of course, there are going to be children that are actually going to engage in this because they read the vile, disgusting magazine, and they're going to be intrigued by it. They don't have parents that are catechizing them properly, and they're being told that there's something, that they're actually abnormal if they're not sexually active. So why not try it the way Teen Vogue says? But as you point out, having sex with poo is dangerous business here. And the spread of venereal diseases and other diseases like HIV and AIDS is a very real possibility and a real threat. They're actually endangering, and not only that, but there can be permanent damage done down there to a young girl's, I don't want to get into the anatomy, or to her anatomy. And one of the things that you point out in your article is that, and we forget this, there are no laws against sodomy anymore. There used to be. There aren't anymore. But there are laws, kinda, against sodomy when it is illegal for a sodomite to lie to someone and tell them that they're clean when, in fact, they're infected with HIV, isn't it?
Correct, for now. And that's what they're actually working on striking down. They're trying to strike down the illegality of saying, well, I have HIV, but I don't have to tell the person that I'm sleeping with. And like I said, it follows right back into the beginning of the spread of HIV. The normalization began in homosexual groups because they were the biggest transmitters of it, because they're engaging in highly risky, unnatural behavior.
Right.
And same here. They're perpetuating that same cycle. The nature of the plan has not changed. It's just the stage of the plan they're at now, because they've been given license in society.